In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The reading for the vigil of this feast, the Feast of the Assumption, there is a line in which a woman claims out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you." And our Lord says, "Nay, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." And the Fathers of the Church are very consistent in saying that what this really means is that our Lord was praising Our Lady not so much that she carried him in her womb, but for the fact that she always kept in her heart his word. And to keep the word of God always in one's heart, one cannot falter. And one does not falter as long as one has no weakness. And so what I want to talk about this week is weakness, moral weakness. And then in the subsequent week, we'll talk about how to overcome that moral weakness and tie it together with, in relationship to the feast next week, which is the Immaculate Heart. Moral weakness is a lack of strength, a lack of firmness. It's a debility, which means one does not have the ability to overcome what is hard or to endure what is hard. It is a state, a kind of softness, in which a person easily yields to what is hard or what is stronger. So how do you end up becoming morally weak? Well, primarily, people become morally weak by following the path of pleasure and emotion rather than reason. And this is because of the fact that whenever we follow reason, we develop virtue. But when we don't, when we go contrary to reason, we develop vice. And vice is another name for weakness. Sometimes it comes by wounds. That is, a person's wounded emotionally or psychologically or something like that. So just as when we're physically wounded, we become weak. So if people are emotionally or psychologically wounded, they may be weak. But the way out of the weakness, either for being wounded or because of something that you've done through your activities, that is, if you commit sins, each time you commit a sin, it weakens your faculties. The way out is the same for both, which we'll talk about in the subsequent homily. Another cause of weakness is human respect. That is, people are more worried about what people think than what God thinks. Intellectual error, which causes you to do things which will weaken your faculties. This is kind of common. You see this among people who say, "Oh, well, you know, the fact that we're living together is okay." The error, the intellectual error in that actually leads to a weakness. Sometimes just a generally worldliness is the cause of weakness. That is, people just don't want to be separated from the pleasures of the world, and they just want to pursue the things of the world because of the delights they get out of them. Sometimes it's due to a lack of spiritual diligence. That is, spiritual sloth. Now, spiritual sloth is the vice in which one doesn't want to set aside one's pleasure in order to pursue what's hard and arduous. And so the person is just slothful. They'd rather just sit there in the complacency of the doing nothing. And as a result, and you see this primarily, for example, with respect to prayer, most people find prayer really hard. And they have vices, actually, in relationship to prayer. They're weak. They find it extremely hard to pray, which means they're weak in relationship to it, which means they don't have virtue, they haven't built up the strength in relationship to it. So a lot of times it's just a lack of pursuit of what is spiritual that causes people to be morally weak. But ultimately it's sin in the pursuit of pleasure and emotion. And then there's certain effects of moral weakness. Okay, so a person becomes morally weak, and then there's certain effects that just naturally follow. The first is effeminacy. Now, St. Thomas defines effeminacy as an unwillingness to put one's pleasure aside in order to pursue what is arduous. Now, if you notice, it has somewhat the same definition as sloth. So the question becomes, what's the difference between sloth and effeminacy? He says, well, sloth is primarily the result of a sorrow at the hardness of spiritual things. And so one just would rather be complacent in one's pleasure rather than than to deal with the things that are painful and sorrowful. So he says that with sloth, the primary aspect is the pain in pursuing spiritual things that you just don't want to deal with. Whereas effeminacy, the stress, he says, is on the pleasure. The person wants to hold on to what's pleasurable. That's what they're really attached to. Now, you've heard me say more than once that one of the fundamental problems in our modern culture is effeminacy among the men. Because men have become soft And it's soft, not just because our standard of living is so high, you don't have to do anything difficult in a large degree, but a lot of it is that just a lot of men have chose the path of pleasure rather than the path of virtue. And this has left them extremely soft. And how do you know that? The minute you ask them to do anything remotely difficult, and all they do is whine and complain about it. So this is one of the signs that this is a serious issue. It's a weakness. Effeminacia in Latin actually means kind of a weakness or softness. In fact, that also very often, one of the effects is a lack of chastity. Now, sometimes the lack of chastity is the cause of the effeminacy, but sometimes it's the other way around. The kids are raised in a soft fashion. Parents don't raise their boys to deal with things that are hard and difficult. They give them everything they want. They let them sit in front of the TV and the video things for long periods of time, feeding the pleasure out of getting it, and then they wonder why their kid is soft. And then they end up with chastity issues. Why? Because to be chaste is hard. People fail to understand to be celibate is a manly thing. It's a hard thing. It takes a great deal of willpower to do it, especially in our culture where people are dressed so immodestly sometimes. But the moral of the story is this lack of chastity can be the effect of this softness. In Latin, the word for self-abuse is malitias. And this is one of the things that you see that's common among people today, this malitias or this self-abuse. But the self-abuse, the term malitias also means softness. That is, the guy is so soft that the minute the temptations come up, he just folds because he's too weak to deal with what's hard. Then, of course, this moral weakness leads to addictions, to things such as pornography. You know, most people don't realize this, but in the 60s, the pornography industry got off the ground because the communists, who knew if you could weaken the moral fiber of this country, you could bring it to its knees without even going to war, flooded the pornography industry with money. So every time you watch pornography, just think, I'm supporting the communists. Then, of course, there is the fact that people have addictions to not just pornography and to not just things against chastity, but also disordered music, because they get a certain pleasure out of it. I'll be talking about that later. And how do you know you're soft in relationship to music? Turn it off. If you can't go a week without listening to music, it means you're weak in relationship to it. It's the same thing with television. And it's the same thing with alcohol and drugs or anything that gives pleasure. If you can't go without it, if you can't take it or leave it, it's a sign of a weakness in you. And also, one of the effects of moral weakness is moral and spiritual ruin. St. Thomas observed that weakness is the way of corruption. All you have to do is look at Washington and know that weakness leads to corruption. It also leads to kind of a dullness of sense, St. Thomas says, which is a certain debility of the mind about the consideration of spiritual things. What does he mean by that? It means that people who are morally weak don't have clarity of mind when it comes to spiritual realities. It's that simple. And how do you kind of know this? Well, it leads to rejection of spiritual things because they're hard. They get in the way of the pleasure of because of one's own weaknesses. How do you know that? Well, let's back up a bit. I have heard, through the grapevine, of course, what people most don't realize is what Bishop Ruskowitz one time said. He says, when you're a priest, you never stop hearing the truth, but the meals aren't so good. But once you become a bishop, the meals are wonderful, but you never hear the truth. But as a pastor, you tend to hear things, and one of the things I keep hearing is that there's been a fairly high level of rejection of my observation that if you watch television and you press that button knowing that something's going to offend God, you are responsible for it. Why have people rejected it? Because of their weakness. Their weakness has affected the pleasure they get out of watching TV, has affected their judgment, because pleasure tends to make you think something's not that bad. Now the problem with it is, St. Thomas says, is when you have these moral weaknesses and you start following the way of pleasure over the course of time, it starts affecting your judgment. And he says, not just in the particular instance, like thinking, okay, it's okay here and now, or it's not as bad here and now, but in general. This is how our culture now thinks that shacking up is okay. This is how we've gotten there. Weakness destroys taking good counsel. If it affects your judgment, when it comes time to sort out what you need to do, you're just not going to do it well. And it also, therefore, corrupts prudence. It causes inconstancy. When people are morally weak, they're just inconstant. What do we mean by inconstant? Inconstant is the vice by which a person cannot stay the course in the face of things that are difficult. So, for example, one day they'll say, okay, I'm going to stop doing this. Then, the day later, because they're morally weak, oh, I want to do this. They're just all over the map, back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And inconstancy, if you're going to confession repeatedly for the same sin, it's a sign of inconstancy. It's a sign of moral weakness. And by the way, I'm not trying to discourage going to confession regularly, but I'm saying about for the same thing over and over again. It also leads to incontinence. Incontinence, St. Thomas, is the vice in which the person, when their appetites start raging, they can't say no to themselves. Whereas continence is, it doesn't matter what your emotions do, it doesn't matter what your appetites do, you stay the course, you fight it out, and you slug it out. So the people who are morally weak, eventually the continence begins to fail. Then, when men are this way, it pervades society. It weakens society in every spiritual and moral way and leaves society in danger of being conquered by those who are stronger from the outside. But it also leads the society to being subjugated by tyranny from the inside, because good men won't stand up and do what they're supposed to do because they're morally weak. This is exactly what's happened in our culture. Quite frankly, the current regime that's in charge of the United States are tyrants. They don't care what the will of the people is. They're going to ram it down our throats. And guess what? We're going to sit and take it because we're too morally weak to say no. You know, as long as they get their steady stream of pornography, they don't care what goes on in the White House, is where most people are at. Or as long as they get their steady stream of entertainment from the TV and things like that, not the TV's bad, but as long as they get that steady stream, they don't care what goes on over there. As long as it doesn't cut into their lifestyle, they don't care. It also leads, and this is basically because people aren't strong enough to resist. Men have become cowardly. They lack fortitude. It leaves you susceptible to demonic temptation and control. When a person is morally weak in any area of their life, if you have any defect whatsoever, you have a certain subjugation to the demonic. It's just that simple, because they can always use that weakness against you. And it means that you're susceptible to be under their control. And the fact of the matter is that if you're under something else's control other than your own will, you're miserable, because it's contrary to the way we were designed by nature. But the only way we can have perfect self-control, that is to have all our faculties subject to our own will, is if our own will is perfectly subordinated to God. That is the only way you will ever overcome perfect moral, any kind of moral weakness. It will affect how you raise your children. This is based upon the principle of implicit learning. Children, you don't have to sit there and sit down and say, look, be morally weak and do this. All you have to do is act that way around them, and you are teaching them how to behave that way. Your children will be as weak, if not weaker than you, unless there is some supplying of grace on God's side. Your children will end up morally depraved if you're not careful because of your own weakness, and therefore you stand in danger of them. They become dangerous. Immoral people are dangerous. And the reason we know that is because they will follow their pleasure and their moral weakness over what is right. Now, how do we know this? Well, all you have to do is look at our general culture. The greatest generation, which went through the Depression and through the Second World War, their generational demon, and therefore their fault, was an unwillingness to appropriate their suffering. What they went through was horrific, and they came out and they said, no more. In other words, they rejected suffering. That meant when they raised the hippie generation, they refused to deny themselves and to suffer in relationship to their children in order to discipline their children, which meant their children became intemperate because they gave them everything they wanted. And then that intemperance led to indocility. That is the generational demon of the hippie generation, intemperance, indocility through intemperance. But because of the indocility, that meant they refused to pass on the moral code. They raised a generation of children who have no moral upbringing, which means these are dangerous people. They might be nice, but the minute you become a burden to them, they're going to euthanize you. It's that simple. Moral weakness in those two generations have put us in a situation where we are in grave danger now. Not just because we stand the ability to be conquered or to be subject to a tyrant, but because of the fact that we have no ability to defend ourselves because men aren't men enough anymore. So, how do you overcome it? That will take up in the next homily. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.